Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Guitarist Brian May of the legendary rock band Queen has a dark side. He gazes at stars in the night sky. What's more, he studies them and has recently completed his PhD in astrophysics at Imperial College in London. Dr. May is the co-author of Bang, The Complete History of the Universe, a book written more for poets than for geeks. He spoke with me about telling the tale from start to finish of the cosmos and why he looks to the sky at night. Here's Brian May. What compelled you to write a book about the history of the universe?
Well, there has been a bit of falling off in the number of students who are entering the sciences in this country. And I must say, I was first inspired by seeing Patrick Moore's program on the TV, which is called The Sky at Night, when I was a kid. And Patrick is the guy who I've collaborated with on this book. He's the one who persuaded me to take this step. He said, look, we need to write a book together, and it needs to be a book to inspire young people. It needs to be understandable, and it needs to be the complete history of the universe. And I said, well, you've got your title right there, then. The complete history of the universe is not a modest aim.
In talking with astronomers, some have conveyed to Earth and Sky that such a book would be missing quite a few pages. What were some of the challenges that you encountered?
That's a big question. Actually, there are a lot of challenges. Part of it is because you're trying to pin a tail on a moving donkey, because things are changing daily, and there have been some findings which seriously challenge the idea of redshift and the whole Big Bang fabric, if you like. So that was one difficulty, you know, to find a consensus that we could write about. The other difficulty is that some of the concepts are quite difficult, or at least they're unusual. They're not things which you encounter every day. So trying to explain something like inflation, or that anything which relates to relativity, takes a little bit of care. I actually think some of these concepts are not as hard as people think. It's just that they're unfamiliar. So the big challenge was to keep writing in English and not in mathematics and not in the jargon that scientists pass between each other. We wanted to make this truly understandable to anyone who had an interest in the subject.
What inspired you to become an astronomer?
A major part of it was Patrick Moore's program. It's really an English phenomenon, of course, but Patrick's program, The Sky at Night, is the longest-running program in the world, presented by one person. He's been there 50 years. Bringing science to the masses, and done a wonderful job, really. He inspired not only amateurs. I mean, I regard myself as an amateur, although I'm doing returning to the fold in a sense, you know, doing my PhD. But all the professional astronomers, if you talk to them in England, they're all inspired by Patrick. He instilled that feeling of awe and mystery about the universe, which has just sucked us all in for the rest of our lives.
As you look out at the stars at night, what do you feel?
I find it a great help spiritually, something which grounds you and in times of difficulty can give you hope. In my worst times, I've had some wonderful times in my life, but I've also had some quite severe depression. And in those times, I would go out and look up at the sky and see perhaps Orion in the sky, looking very strong and brave, and always the same, always something, a friend that I could come back to. And I remember looking up and getting a feeling of bravery from the stars, a feeling that there was something which was eternal and that I would get through and I would find a better place. I've always been someone who just liked to go up and look. It's not necessarily very, very common among astronomers. If you go to an observatory, you know, I recently visited La Palma in the Canary Islands, where they're building the GTC, which will be the biggest telescope in the world, the biggest optical telescope in the world when it's opened next year. And there are a number of telescopes up there clustered around this beautiful island at the top above the clouds. And I said, is anybody looking through any of these telescopes at the moment? And the guy who was showing me around said, no, nobody looks through telescopes. No, there's a few cameras on the end of them, there's spectroscopes, but nobody's looking through. No, the eye isn't a very good means of looking into the universe. And that is the point. The eye can't integrate. So all these wonderful pictures you see of nebulae and galaxies cannot be seen with the naked eye. They have to be photographed in some way. But me, I still love to just go out and look up at the sky and feel that sense of awe, feel my place in the universe.
How does what you've learned as an astronomer permeate your day-to-day living?
Interesting question. I do feel it gives me a balance. I'm very much immersed in music a lot of the time. I'm also immersed in stereo photography and 1850s daguerreotypists, and I'm immersed in astronomy. I just find my brain needs to be stimulated in these different ways, and I think it stops me getting tired. It just, there's always something new. I think each of them exercises a different part of the brain, and it gives me a sense of perspective, I guess. I think rock stars could be accused of losing their sense of perspective quite often. And this is definitely something which keeps me with one foot in a different kind of world, where it's necessary to be very humble, because we are very small creatures in this universe for sure.
How would you describe a universe that seems infinite, but actually has limits? What's stopping it, and what's behind what's stopping it, so to speak?
I think most astronomers would tell you that the universe is not infinite. It's very, very big, and it's impossible to see it all. But it's actually finite, but without boundaries. That's the most popular view at the moment. And that's a little hard to explain. We have a neat little analogy in the book, which is an ant crawling on the surface of a football. I don't know if you've come across this. And it's a fairly crude analogy, but it gives you some idea. This ant can crawl, assuming it can't jump off, it'll crawl over the surface of the football as long as it likes, and it will never come to a boundary. But the surface that it's crawling on is nevertheless finite. That's kind of the view, translated into three dimensions of space and one of time. That's more or less the view that most cosmologists have of the universe at the moment.
Thanks for sharing your time today, Brian.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners and readers of Earth and Sky?
We'd like you to visit our website, which is banguniverse.com, bang without the exclamation mark in this case, banguniverse.com, which we hope will become an interactive thriving community of people who are interested in astronomy. We've already started to answer some questions which have been sent in from people who've read the book. And it will be a general little forum and a place to have fun with astronomy, we hope. We're going to do some merchandise too. We really think that astronomy ought to be fun and not regarded as this sort of unreachable thing that sometimes people view it as. So we'll be doing mugs and t-shirts. Which I love. I mean, I love the toys, and that's pretty much the way we've been in Queens throughout the years.
Thanks again.
Thank you. All the very best. Bye.
That was astrophysicist and rock star Brian May talking about his new book, Bang, The Complete History of the Universe. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.